Wake up, wake up, wake up and celebrate. The 49ers can win with two different quarterbacks. The 49ers offense came back to life. The 49er defense.
Welcome to Wake Up. It's Damon and Larry. It is a Victory Monday. 49ers fans, great to have you here. If there's anything we learned in yesterday's game, it's that starting the right way makes everything easier. So, Larry, let's start by thanking everyone. It's great to see everybody. Like and subscribe across both channels. Please push this video out into that YouTube algorithm. And we always want to thank our sponsors. Over here on the Plus side, we can't get it done without Ike of Ike Sandwiches. Our good friends at the Dubliner are always getting it done. We're also a sleeper sponsor. And, Larry, it's pig in a pickle. And these shows, somebody on here said, it's Plus in a pickle. So there you go.
I can't even tell you the number of people that will reference pig in a pickle in some way in the comments through the videos and the live streams. It's unreal. But thanks to all of you. But thanks most importantly to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. And get this, Damon. I don't want to take credit for it. And I won't take credit for it. I'm just here to help. But Pig in a Pickle is expanding to a third location in Petaluma coming up shortly. We'll have more details on that. But if you're up there, you know what they say, you can pet a lion, you can pet a tiger, but you can't pet a luma. Well, there you go.
That's really bad. But really bad.
Petaluma, third location. I always keep saying they have two locations. They have two locations, but a third location on the way in Petaluma. So check out Pig in a Pickle.
Here's what I do know.
11 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Pig in a Pickle wouldn't be opening a third location if they didn't have a great product. People really like what they serve.
That's absolutely true.
But, Larry, there is absolutely no doubt that you've probably pushed more people into Pig in a Pickle than anyone else, and that is a big part of their expansion. So I'm really happy for Damon and Mary. Congratulations to them. In 2025, there's not a lot of good restaurant news out there, so that makes me very happy. That's wonderful.
Yes, I mean, and I do know people who own restaurants, and those restaurants are struggling and on the verge of closing, and it is a very difficult thing to do, a very difficult business to make it in. So check them out. Corte Madera. We're going to be in Corte Madera on December 7th, by the way, for the Krug Show meet and greet during the bye week. So stop by, say hello, have some barbecue, have some brisket, have a beer, maybe a root beer. They have fantastic sodas and enjoy some football and stop by and say hello. And we may be giving away some Krug Show prizes to whoever comes from the greatest distance. So that's December the 7th. Thank you very much to Pig in a Pickle. Check them out. Open from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. or 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., I should say. Don't show up at 8 a.m. 7 days a week. So thanks to Pig in a Pickle, and they are outstanding. Also, as Damon said, 49er football season is presented by Sleeper all season long on the Krug Show, fastest growing fantasy platform. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and Sleeper picks, and most importantly for fantasy, use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions apply. We did three different lineups last week and we won one, so that was good. I'm having a ton of fun with Sleeper, and thank you to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor. And also, we'll mention them a little bit later on, but thank you to Habas Law and all the good things that they're doing in our community. Habas Law is a fantastic sponsor as well. We'll talk about him later on, but let's get right into it.
Larry, first of all, let me just tell you, I'm glad that Shanahan ran Brian Robinson one more time, because I had over 21.5 on Sleeper and that's what I needed. I had McCaffrey with an anytime touchdown and Brissett with 21.5 completions, which was easy for him, obviously, on a day where the Cardinals completely abandoned the running game, which I'm sure Robert Saleh was happy to see, because that to me is a great way to beat the 49ers. Jacoby Brissett threw all over God's green earth on the 49ers. But all those penalties basically took 200 yards of production almost away from him. I mean, it was like I haven't seen that many penalty yards, and we'll talk about getting away with murder here. But again, I want to start with how the game started, right? Because Sky Moore set the tone in this game in a way that I don't think can be minimized in any way, shape, or form. It was like the air of the stress of the game almost – went right out of the balloon, Larry, with that Sky Moore return. They carry the ball one time, and it's 7-0 before the clock has even started ticking in Arizona. And that was just as good of a handoff or as good of a start to a game as you'll see. If it feels like it's been a while since you've seen something like that, it's because it has been. Sky Moore's 98-yard kickoff return, the longest by a Niner player since Ted Ginn went 102 back in 2011, Larry. So it's been a long time since we've seen a special teams play like that. What a great tone setter for the day. Just made everything easier.
Longest return for the Niners in 14 years. I mean, that was awesome. And I'll tell you, I don't want to say I called it, but I kind of called it. I went on with Brianna Janelle on the 49ers internal show late in the week. And I said, Sky Moore, Brianna's going to have a house call. He's taking it to the house. He didn't.
One yard short.
But she actually gave me some Twitter recognition, right? You know, as the game started, she's like, Larry predicted this almost. I'll say this. I like this kid, you know, and I was harsh on him a couple weeks ago. He had a special teams play a few weeks ago where he was at the 13-yard line. You either have to catch it or you got to get the hell away from it. And he just moved a couple feet to the side and it hit at the 13. It almost hit him. It didn't. It almost got downed at the 2. It didn't. And the Niners escaped both wraths and got the ball on the touchback. But it was a fundamentally poor decision by Sky. So anyway, I just wanted to go talk to him and just get his mindset. So I went and talked to him and this week at his locker. And I'm just like, bro, first of all, total kudos to you. You don't return with any fear at all. You take it up the field like a whirling dervish. You're not afraid to get blown up. And he looks at me and he goes, and he's with a total smile, David. It was so funny. He looks at me and he goes, but I do get blown up sometimes. I said, yeah, you do get blown up. But dude, you know how many guys are soft pedaling through there or don't want to take that big hit and don't go a million miles an hour because they don't want to get blown up? You show no fear. You hit that hole. You go for it. I go, you've got come this close to a house call. I feel one coming. And he's like, it's coming. It's coming. And it was hilarious because Niner PR came over. I wasn't even recording him, Damon. I was just having a conversation with him. And, you know, and just check on what we were talking about. Then they saw that, you know, we were having a good time and he was laughing it up and everything. And then I was like, oh, okay, everything's cool. But Sky Moore, man, what can you say? I mean, can credit John Lynch. They needed a return guy. They drafted Bergen. He wasn't the guy. They didn't sit there and cry about it. They went out and got a different return guy. And this guy's a dual returner, right? He's a kick returner, punt returner. Had an 80-something yard one against Arizona in the preseason before Kansas City cut him loose. Former second-round pick. This guy's a great kid. He really is. His first career touchdown was in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. He had a huge moment. A lot of people think, oh, he's done nothing in the NFL. He had a huge moment in the AFC Championship game for Kansas City against Cincinnati when he had a key 29-yard punt return to midfield, which set up Harrison Butker's game-winning field goal, which beat the Bengals in the AFC Championship game and vaulted the Chiefs into the Super Bowl. So, great kid, always productive, great at Western Michigan, 95 catches his final year there, Damon. 10.25-inch hands, 4.4 speed, Pennsylvania kid, second-round pick once upon a time.
It's good
considered a bust, hey, but he's got a new home, and that was a thing of beauty. And that's what happens when you go at it a million miles an hour. You're this close, and he just ran out of gas there. Otherwise, that was a house call.
It was, if he's going to put one in the end zone, that means he's got another one of those left in him before this year is over, and the 49ers will certainly take it whenever he shows up with it. But it was just a great tone setter to start the game. And, you know,
phenomenal. And, you know, you wish for good things for good people. This dude is a good guy. And I really, really am happy for him. Before you say anything else, let's hear his quick reaction to this play because KMBR put this out. This is kind of a neat little clip. Here it is, Sky Moore in the locker room. Wait a second.
Need some volume.
Here we go. Hold on, everybody. Gotta have a little volume. There we go. Okay, now here we go. Let's go. Oh, you gotta turn the volume up. There we go. The volume was down.
A little bit on Instagram okay. One time, but yeah, so I caught the ball, and as soon as I stemmed in, I'm noticing that, like, oh, this is blocked up exactly how we wanted it to. So I'm running straight at the kicker, making sure I don't get caught by the kicker. But I feel like I did too much on that angle. But it was cool, though. Like, I got caught, but it was a great way to open up the game for sure.
Got down there, and you knew you were coming close. Yeah. And just falling short. What was going through your mind?
I was running out of gas, and I looked at the board, and I seen somebody getting close. So I tried to jump at the end, but it didn't work. So we'll get it next time.
I mean, think about that for a second. I'm looking at the board, the score. Think about the presence of mind. You're looking at the scoreboard to find the defenders,
to find the angle on the kicker. By the way, is that now a strategy that you should not have built into your stadium, helping teams out by giving them an easy scoreboard to watch? I don't know. But it was a great way to start the game. There's no doubt about it. If he lost his gas by setting up the kicker, that's pretty funny. I'm sure they're going to find him in kangaroo court for that. But it's a great way to start a game. And look, there's no doubt that the fingerprints of that moment are all over the fact that this team had 25 first half points. That's their most in a first half since 2002. So it's been a while since the 49ers opened with scoring like that. And look, we got to get to Purdy, right? All eyes on Purdy. I thought at times he looked a little like his mechanics and his plant was a little bit off. But when he battled through it all, man, he delivered on the results that he is promised to deliver on. 3 touchdowns, a season high, along with a season high passer rating, 133.5. He was in control and in command of the entire game and looked good. You know, there were a couple balls that could have been trouble. But, you know, we see those almost in every game, every quarterback. Maybe we shouldn't hold him against Purdy that much, but... I knew I was going to hear it say,
well,
Damon was ready to bench Brock Purdy by halftime. You bet the fucking house I was. You can't screw around in a division game. They needed to win yesterday. And if Brock had come out and sucked early on, I'm going to a quarterback who has not been anything but spectacular all year long. Guess what? Quarterback hasn't been the problem all year. Not once. But Brock Purdy did a lot of things yesterday that Mac Jones has been doing all year. It's really good that the two of them can get it done. So I'm glad that Brock played well. Hopefully, Kyle Shanahan doesn't announce that at 4:00 this afternoon he's going to have his big toe amputated and that his season's over. I wouldn't be surprised because there's always bad news on a Monday on an injury front with the 49ers. But he played great. And there's no doubt, you know, this team got a little bounce from him. He and Kittle clearly are, you know, as in sync as it could get. Disappointing Ricky Pearsall didn't do anything in the game. But look, I mean, how can you complain about a 49ers team that scored 41 points? Yet at the same time, Larry, they got away with football murder. I mean, their defense is just going to be all year.
Yeah, it's not a good defense.
No.
And, you know, I mean, some people are like, well, you know, Brock came back and look at the high end of this offense. And there's no question. I mean, he knows the offense better. I mean, it's like they're all taking a foreign language and Brock's on Spanish, you know, 3. And these guys are all the rest of them are in Spanish 1A.
Biblioteca.
I mean, it's really that basic. I mean, it really is like that. You know, he knows a lot more about this offense. He knows a lot more about what he can do inside this offense. I think the most noticeable difference yesterday was Brock's ability to change the play at the line of scrimmage, where Jones, I think, went with the play a lot of the times. Purdy saw some mismatches and exploited them, especially on the Kittle touchdown, but he did it again later in the game on a Hughes check play. He did it on the touchdown to CMC, where you had CMC coming to Brock going, man, you saw that, you know, smart play by you. Where he changed the play at the line of scrimmage. And that's what you can do when you really know the offense as well as he knows it. But a couple things. I mean, one, as far as your take, it's just too, it's a good fan take, But it's like, it doesn't work in the actual room, because then once you go to another guy, you come back, the impact that it starts to have on your football team when you start changing, it's like changing the jockey in the middle of the race. You want to change it as infrequently as possible. I hear what you're saying, and there was always going to be levels to this. You weren't wrong. If Brock came out and was just atrocious, I mean, there's levels to all this stuff, right? So it's like he played at this level. But if he had played at this level, it would have been okay. If he played at this level, it would have been okay. If he played at this level, it would have been okay. But if he played, you know, at some super low level, yeah, then you know, anything could have happened. Anything could have happened.
I knew that what I was saying felt very knee-jerky, and it's not how football teams work or function or think, but at the same time, you got to play the game that's in front of you when you need to win it.
I mean, it was a little percentage that it was going to happen. We just focused on that, but we shouldn't have. But beyond that take, I mean, whatever. Brock demonstrated.
Your take was also play Brock today, get him hurt today so you can go back to Mac in a couple weeks.
Well, no, I didn't. My take was don't play Brock until the bye week, and then play Brock because, in my opinion, you needed more rest time, and then you would have fewer games, because I want Brock healthy for what I think is the Super Bowl, and then after that, the playoffs. But then, of course, that could all go away if you don't win these games. And I think that's kind of what Shanahan might have been looking at, Damon, is that if you look at the schedule and you look at the rest of the NFC, if the 49ers had just gone mediocre through this four-game stretch, then they might get into the final stretch of the year with Brock and say, hey, you have to win. You have to go 3-0 against the Colts and Seahawks and Bears. Well, I don't think they want to put that kind of pressure on him. So then it's a matter of how does he feel, this and that. We're not talking to him. We're not talking to the doctor. Then as far as the injury, I don't know exactly what the injury is. You don't know exactly what the injury is. Heck, when Brock talked about it, he didn't say I have turf toe. He said I have a variation of turf toe. So maybe it's a lesser thing than turf toe. I don't know. It's all guesswork, right? So we're just going off of what we know about turf toe, what we've heard. There's so many unknowns. So we were flying blind. They're flying with all the information. So we're giving you our opinion, but you should always know that our opinion is with us flying blind. We're nothing more than an interested, somewhat informed observer. That's it, right? We don't have it's like trying to evaluate this. It's evaluating something. It's evaluating a game you didn't watch. You know, how did you think the Niners played? Well, I don't know. I didn't see the game. Well, yeah, it's hard to say then, right? Well, how's Brock's prognosis? I don't know. I haven't seen the medicals. I haven't talked to Brock. I haven't talked to Shanahan. Their job is to kind of lie to us, you know, to deceive us and to mislead us. So, you know, we're not getting accurate, you know, cutting edge, perfect information. So, you know, everybody who's evaluating what you say about it, what I say about it, put it, you know, that's fine, but don't hold us to the same kind of standards you would hold people that have the information. We're giving you our opinion, and we're trying to advance the conversation. We're not, I don't know about you, and I don't think you do. I would pretty much say you don't. And I can speak for myself. I definitely don't. I don't have an agenda. I really don't. I'm a huge Brock Purdy fan. I've been arguing that Brock Purdy is a legitimate franchise quarterback who should be paid and extended at $50+ million for multiple years. So the fact that I enjoyed Mac Jones, what he was doing, and wanted to ride with the hot hand a few more weeks should not be read as Kruger hates Brock Purdy. I mean, I got some of that this week. Like, dude, you're just rooting against Brock. It's like, dude, you're high. Nobody is rooting for him more than me. I mean, I'm literally all in on Brock Purdy.
Well, so, and look, I think that there's people out there who, you know, sell an awful lot of negativity and bullshit. And you and I are not doing that. We're not trying to sell negativity or bullshit ever, but we're trying to talk about something from a full 360 degree, you know, look at all of it. And we get some things right. We get some things wrong, and we'll be back for next week's game, no matter what was said. That's kind of how it works.
Some people, Damon, and I won't name them because it's not worth it. And you know, before people say, it's Grant. It's not Grant. All right. Some people, though, in the Niner community clearly have an agenda or a position that they're trying to push. you know, we're trying to push this narrative, and it's not, it's because I said this and this and this and this in the past, and I'm trying to carve out my opinion while not stepping on my dick basically four different times. You know, it's like, that's what's going on there. So ignore all those people. They don't matter. Beyond that, forget the noise. Ignore the noise. Let's focus on the field. I don't love stats, but there are two this morning that really are amazing. With a passer rating of 133.5, Damon, Brock Purdy yesterday registered his 11th career game with a passer rating of at least 130.0 or better. His 11 games with a passer rating of 130 or higher are the most by any quarterback in their first four seasons since the AFL-NFL merger of 1970. That's the year I was born. We're talking about 55 years of 49er football, of NFL football, of quarterbacking in this league. Nobody has a passer rating over 130 more than 11 times in their first four seasons, and Brock Purdy has that. So that right there, for people who want to say, ah, he's just a this, he's just a that. Really? Really? Go ahead. Passer rating is kind of the all-encompasser. That's stat one. Stat two, though, there are people that will also hit you with this one, Damon. Yeah, but, you know, Brock, you know, he doesn't really, you know, drive it down the field. And I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. Brock Purdy was 2 for 4 for 55 yards and a touchdown on Sunday on passes traveling 20-plus air yards. In three games, he's 8 of 12 for 226 yards on those throws. Mac Jones, by the way, on the same throws, 4 of 16 for 122 yards. The deep ball is what we saw return, and the big play. And Shanahan, I think, really, he said, why now? My guess is this, Damon, and it's just a guess, but my guess is this. Shanahan looked at his team and said, Mac Jones is doing some good things, but basically we're checking it down. We don't have a vertical game. We're a 20 to 25 point a game team. We have a horrible defense. We can't stop anybody. We need to score 30. We need to score 35. We need to score more. Let's bring Brock back. Let's bring Ricky back. Let's, you know, see if we can have more of a vertical threat. Let's see if we can have more of an offensive output, and let's see what it looks like. And I think it's an interesting plan. I think it's a good plan. For 1 week it worked, but Arizona is horrible, and you got to factor that in.
Yes.
But I think it makes sense. Like if you try to get help at the deadline, couldn't get help at the deadline. Well, how are you gonna help your defense now? How are you going to help your defense? There's nothing left to do except for have the offense with all the money and the veterans that are on it shoulder the load and maybe go off. And
Larry, if Shanahan, here's how I think you help this defense. You help the defense by not healthy scratching Cleveland Farrell. I think that guy needs to be out there and played and called up and dressed and going. That to me was Givens hurt. Was that a healthy scratch? I didn't really get that either. So
who did you want? Who did you want out? So yeah, I know you could. This is who they had. These are the eight defensive linemen they had up. The starters were Keon White, Alfred Collins, Jordan Elliott, Bryce Huff. Those are your ones. Your twos were Sam Aquinu, Kalia Davis, C.J. West, Robert Beal. If you want to put Givens back, who do you want to sit out? And if you want to put Farrell in, who do you want
Robert
to sit
Beal
out?
Jr. Robert Beal Jr. just does nothing every game I've ever seen him play. I've never used his name in a game, after a game.
He played well at times in this game, Damon.
Well, I'll say that.
I mean, there was a couple plays in this game like that Robert Beal did not make. Like there was one play that I saw. I was rewatching it last night where Pinnock comes in, flies in, and makes the tackle. And if you look at it, the announcer goes, oh, Jason Pinnock with a tackle for a loss against the run. And you're like, whoa, Pinnock. If you just take the time to pause it, roll it back, and look at it again, it's Robert Beal setting just a wicked edge, taking on two guys, getting penetration, and then that blew the whole thing up for Pinnock. So
that's Beal,
Okay. So, but I'm just saying, Beal, before you crush on Beal, Beal had some really good moments in this game.
Oh, good.
Who would be the defensive tackle?
Good moments. That's one game. One game against a bad Arizona team. Beals had good moments. That's great. I'm glad he played well yesterday.
Okay, but who do you? What tackle are you pulling out for Givens?
Maybe C.J. West. I hate to say it.
C.J. West, I thought, played pretty well in this game.
You're asking me who I would substitute for, so I'm telling you who would be the guy. But,
and I'm telling you those guys played well.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad that they played well, so maybe they got that right. Look, the defense.
I'm cool with Givens. Sit Givens. Givens had a torn pec. He was supposed to be a pass rusher. He's not good against the run. C.J. West is the future. Givens is a mediocre player. Play West. I can go with you on Cleve Farrell over Beal, but I think I'd rather have West.
I think that, you know, the Cardinals completely abandoned the running game, which was an absolute gift for that 49ers defense. Defense caused three turnovers yesterday. That's a gift. We haven't seen that this year. And again, all of those defensive penalties. What was really amazing in this game is that the 49ers had one penalty. One. And it was the Renardo Green pushback. You know, it's always the retaliation that gets the flag, not the initial flag. First of all, Trey McBride tried to twist his head off. You know, Renardo Green, I don't blame him for defending yourself, but man, don't give first downs to teams automatically.
I thought that was the most NBA moment I think I've seen in the NFL in the entire time I've been watching it. And I say that because you're right. There's no doubt the instigator here was McBride. He totally twisted, and Green waited, and they twisted it, but then he went back and twisted it again. And Shanahan absolutely, aired him out.
Can't do it.
Aired him out on the sidelines. But the very next play, McBride's given a penalty for this motion of going like this under the nose.
He did. So
can you explain that to me? Cause I'm not, yeah. I guess I'm not, I don't know my, I don't do enough of these. Why
okay,
is
so I'm
going to
tell you what that is. This is not bad. Okay. So kids, yeah. If you're watching, earmuffs, Larry, that's the pussy whiff. It's the pussy. It's you pussy. Smell that pussy I just cooked. That's what that is. That's the pussy whiff. And here's the thing.
That's why we have Damon here for that kind of info. How did you know this? Where did you learn this? Is this an Indiana thing?
I learned it in high school, Larry. Anyway.
God, that's pretty vulgar.
Just telling you what it is, what that represents, what that means. So
look at that. We're all educated.
There you go. I'm here to help. I'm here to help.
So I'm going to use that again. I'm going to use that. So if you cook somebody and you're saying you're a wuss, you're a puss, you can kind of, that's like you're a puss.
Yeah.
I'm doing that, man. I'm going to drop that. It's part of my arsenal now. Yes.
That's straight up. I smell pussy. That's what that is. That's what that means. That's the sign language.
Oh, wait a second. Jacob's countering.
What wrong?
Oh, that's from long ago. Wait. No, he says you're wrong.
What is it? What is it then? If I'm wrong, you tell me what it is. You tell me where the smell my finger thing came from. You tell me what that is.
Look at this guy. This is who I have in my chat. This is a minute. Well, hold on a second. Chat. We have so many people in the chat that it's moving so fast. Clown man. Larry, you don't know the stink finger? You're an effing dork, dumb bitch. Hey, clown man.
Somebody says that's a gang sign. Dude, if that's a gang sign.
Bye-bye, clown man. Bye-bye, clown man.
Flash him.
Oh, I just banned him from the room.
Oh, my goodness. A
goodbye, clown man.
Anyway,
enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed yourself, clown man.
How about fucking this? Whether I got it right or wrong, I hated that call. I hate that call. It's not like McBride did that on anybody's face. He did this, signaled the first down.
But it was NBA. It was a total makeup call.
That is the second worst. The second worst call of the afternoon in the NFL, with the worst call of the afternoon being how Sunday Night Football ended with that ghost pass interference on AJ Brown. That was awful. That was like, hey, we've been out here for a rock fight. Everyone just want to go home? Yeah, we're going to make up a PI here and end this game. I mean, that was terrible.
Bye-bye, clown man. Goodbye, clown man. You don't say things to me in the chat that you would never say to my face. And you wouldn't say that to my face, clown man. So,
what did he say? I totally missed what he said.
Oh, he's calling me a bitch. He's calling me a dork. He's calling me, you know, I'm 55 years old. I've been doing this for a while. I've been doing radio for 30 years. I don't, you know, believe it or not, I haven't had people run up to me at the game and say, you're a bitch. You're a dork. Why is that? It's funny. I only get it when I'm sitting in these rooms where nobody can.
You know, it's funny, Larry, there was one time I was on the like the CSN Bay Area.
Bye, clown man.
I was on some giant pregame set.
Hey, clown man. Woo. Goodbye, clown man. Clown that.
Larry, there was one time I was on some CSN Bay Area set outside a Giants game. And this one guy, as we were on the air, was behind me like, you suck, Damon. Like right on there. You suck. And I we went to commercial break.
Really?
And I turned around. Yeah.
Where was this?
Right outside the ballpark. And
on the patio?
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't even the patio. It was like a special TV set that was set up in the palm trees. You know?
Oh, okay.
So you're
a guest on TV and somebody heckled you.
Somebody's all over me. We go to commercial break. I turn around and I said, hey, man, at least you got the guts to do it to my face. I appreciate that. And he was like, ah, you're cool, D. Bruce. it's great. Did you see some fan called Draymond Green Angel Reese in New Orleans? And Draymond never
caught the game. That is awesome. Draymond. I love Draymond. He's my favorite player of all time. He's my favorite player. I mean, I love him. Oh, I love him because I'm a Warrior fan. And he is everything I wanted Chris Webber to be. You know what I mean? As far as like an enforcer, a passer, a distributor, a scorer. I mean, he literally is what I wanted C. Webb to be. So I'm a big Draymond fan and I've always backed Draymond. I backed Draymond when he punched Poole in the face. I'm a big Draymond guy. But there's something about Draymond at this point that is so tired. It's like, bro, come on, bro.
I'm going to stop the game and talk to you like that. You might as well call me the N-word. You called me Angel Reese. I'm coming out here to talk to you, buddy.
Angel Reese. Some WNBA player that nobody cares about.
Anyway, look, awesome. back to the 49ers and the banishment of nasty things. Anyways, I thought the flag on McBride was terrible. But my God, what an undisciplined team. 17 penalties, 135 yards, I think it was, against Arizona. That is absolutely unsurvivable. And
Do you think so? It's funny you said that because I brought that up in the post game. I don't think that Jonathan Gannon opened that game in any kind of hot seat. I really don't. I mean, and yet.
Oh, no, I don't mean unsurvivable like Gannon's about to get. I mean, unsurvivable to win today. Gannon's a good coach.
Gannon's a good coach, but, I mean, it's the kind of game that does typically go towards getting you fired. Because, I mean, that many mistakes, I mean, it was bad. It was bad. And the look on his face.
They're playing with a JV team out there. They had more guys hurt on their roster than the Niners did, and it's the first time all year that happened. So the Arizona Cardinals looked like what normally happens when half your depth chart is on the field. Give the Niners credit for never really looking like that with half their depth chart on the field. That's a testament to Shanahan. And maybe, you know, I know we love to crap on John Lynch, but again, they've cobbled together enough depth to get through this somehow. I'll give them that much. The Niners, though, did get away with some football murder. And you don't win a lot of games by 19 points when you get outgained by 207 yards. Nick Wagner said the 49ers' negative yardage was the worst yardage differential in a win for any team this season. Teams that had outgained their opponents by 200-plus were 14-0 so far this year. The Niners are the first. That's their first win when getting outgained by 200-plus yards in 18 years. You got to go back to 2007 to win a game like that.
Yeah. Okay. So there are people that do this. I'm not one of them, but there are people that do this and they're usually national guys. Why? Because they don't have time to watch every game. So they try to pretend like they watch every game. Like when you're watching all these studio shows and you're watching these Monday shows, Get Up This, Wake Up That, and all this stuff, all these different shows, for the most part, like me and you are real. I was absolutely immersed in Niner ball the entire day yesterday. So I saw the morning games, I saw the evening game, but in the 1 o'clock window, don't ask me about Rams Seahawks today. I don't know shit about Rams Seahawks. I didn't watch Rams Seahawks.
Right. The only thing I know is that Darnold threw 4 interceptions and his team circled the wagons around him in a way that makes you realize they respect the hell out of him. That's their guy.
But that guy didn't see Denver and KC. So don't ask me about Denver, KC. And I'm not going to give opinions. But there are people that are giving opinions on these games every single week that did not watch a minute. And how are they doing it? They're doing it because they think that they're skilled enough football people, that they know the personnel well enough, that they can just look at the box score and put it all together. Well, if you looked at this box score, Niners had 24 first downs. Cardinals had 24 first downs. Identical first downs. Cardinals held the ball for 71 plays. Niners had 52 plays. As you said, 200-yard difference, 488 total yards for Arizona, 281 for the Niners, 452 passing to 186 passing. What? 452 to 186?
47-57.
The time of possession, they held the ball 34-15, and the Niners got it for 25-45. So, it's all totally one-sided until you look at the penalties and the turnovers.
Special teams, too.
Niners were plus 3 in turnovers, and the Niners were plus 16 in penalties. So the Niners went 4 for 5 in the red zone. You always look at that as well. But the Cardinals couldn't run, 2-6 a carry. But, I mean, if you just study the box score, you'd be like, what happened in this game? But basically, that's 49ers got a big lead, and then the Cardinals dominated. The Niners kind of got – I don't even want to credit the Niners with a bend, don't break, because it really wasn't a bend, don't break. It was just kind of – they're not very good. They can't rush the passer. They can't stay with the receivers. They're just not very good defensively, and Cardinals are not very good offensively. They didn't have their top two receivers. And so it just became kind of Brissett to Michael Wilson.
And then
the Niners were cool with it as long as it used time.
15 catches, a career high, 185 for Michael Wilson. Trey McBride, 10 catches, 115, a touchdown. Greg Dortch, by the way, the Niners did not get Dortched, so congratulations. 6 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown, though, for Greg Dortch. You had three.
He was good.
Three dudes really all averaging 11 or more, and they weren't in the game, again, for a single minute of clock time because of Sky Moore setting the tone for that game. So special teams matter. Special teams absolutely matter. I think that we have gone way too long in this show without talking about one of the single greatest guys who has ever put a 49er uniform on. That is Christian McCaffrey. The Christian McCaffrey is washed takes are just not aging very well here. There's nothing washed about him. He is a dominant player. He has more yards from scrimmage than any player in all of football right now. This is his 9th game this season with 100 or more yards from scrimmage, the most by any player in football. 13 carries, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 catches, 40 yards, a touchdown. He's one of the greatest players ever. I mean, that has ever played football, not just for the 49ers. Christian McCaffrey is the capital M-A-N. And I'm going to tell you, Kyle Shanahan, you are out of your fucking mind. What is Christian McCaffrey doing? I mean, Brock threw him a medicine ball late in that game when it was over. What is Christian McCaffrey doing in that game? When that game is as in the barn as a football game can be. Kyle, how could he not be the most injury-aware coach in all of football? And he's like trying to speak an injury into existence for his single most valuable player. It drives me insane, Larry, the way that they use Christian McCaffrey to the very bitter end of a game where he could have been out of, I mean, like, the Bay Area gets it. Like, we would celebrate when Steph Curry wasn't playing in the fourth quarter. That means everything went great today. I can't believe he didn't get McCaffrey off the field at all in a game where it's time to get off the field.
I mean, I tweeted about it. I was like, come on, man. But I wasn't talking about Christian as much as Brock. It's like you've got a guy with turf toe who can hurt and exacerbate his turf toe on any play, and you're up huge and he's still in there in the fourth. It's like, and you have Mac Jones, play Mac Jones. And then, you know, we saw Guerrero. You have Guerrero on the field. He caught a fair catch. He caught a onside kick. He's on the hands team. Jesus Christ. Use him in the fourth quarter. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, the risk reward is just so ridiculous. It's so useless. It's like I'm telling you, you have one car that you need to use to get across country, and you're literally spinning donuts in a parking lot in Wyoming. You know, it's like, why? What are you doing? What are you trying to ruin the suspension? Are you trying to wear bald your tires? That's not going to work. That's not helping.
And if McCaffrey goes down, the season is over.
Well, how about Purdy, McCaffrey, Kittle? You have Jones. You have other runners, Guerrero. You have Tongis. You have Farrell. Those are your absolute megastars. I mean, I understand why Trent's got to stay in, but I don't understand why you're up, 40 points and you're up 20 points with 5 minutes left and you're still putting Purdy, McCaffrey, and Kittle on the field. It's like...
I literally couldn't believe it.
I don't get it.
I spent the entire game in a really good mood, and then the last bit of that game like almost ruined my mood. Like, do you really not get it? I mean, are you that unaware of the big picture? Like,
well, then what? And what about all these people that want to, push back anytime you say anything about, Shanahan not having a smart move? They're like, he knows more about coaching than you. Well, yeah, but he's also wrapped up doing a bunch of different things, and I'm sitting here in the comfort of my living room watching everything unfold, and I can maybe make that decision a little easier. Well, I also don't have to face these guys. I mean, I think at the end of the day, the unspoken part of this is that it's hard to take. These guys are so effing competitive that they won't come off the field, and you're literally fighting with them to get them off the field. And Shanahan doesn't want to fight them, so he's just like, let them go.
I think
that's it.
What they need is an assistant coach who collects helmets. By the way, I'm looking for a gig. I could use a little part-time work. I'd be happy to be the 49ers take Christian McCaffrey's helmet coach.
This is what I tweeted yesterday. Kyle, time to pull Purdy. You're up 19 points in the fourth quarter. You're the coach, not him. It's a long season. Be smart. All right, so I got 243 likes. But if I click on that, I got 24 comments. And most people are like, I agreed. Run the clock with Mac and Robinson. I'm in total agreement. Okay. And then I'm sure if I look down here, here we go. DT, thanks, coach. I'm sure you understand better in all your years of coaching. It's like, dude, I'm giving you an opinion. So now you can't counter my opinion with any logic. So we get into name calling and character assassinations. This is the minds of the small idiots that are out there. It's like if somebody's having a debate and you want to get in the debate, then get into the debate, but don't attack the person that you just don't like them getting into the debate. I mean, it's like, are you telling me it's not time to pull Purdy? It's not time to pull CMC? You're up 19 points in the fourth quarter. It's a long season. It's a violent game. We saw Bryce Huff get hurt on the second to last play 5 weeks ago. Losing him was kind of painful. They were really horseshit without him. I mean, it's just like, be smart. That's all. Be smart.
I'm pretty sure, based on what I'm seeing from this defense, that if you reach the postseason, enjoy it while you can. You're probably not going to reach the end of it with this defense.
You never know. Christian McCaffrey
goes down, they ain't going to enjoy shit. Their ability to win or compete in any football game goes from we can win today to you got no shot today. The minute Christian McCaffrey goes down and gets hurt, he isn't just the engine. He's the whole goddamn car. So, Kyle, it's like you're trying to get him hurt in meaningless junk time. I just don't understand it. Like I said, your opening question to Shanahan this week should be, Kyle, what the fuck? What are you doing?
But I mean, and once again, I mean, I think the other thing that has been stated here is that Brock Purdy gives this offense juice There's no question they can score in the 30s with Brock Purdy. I mean, I could show you the stats. Brock Purdy means about 5 to 7 points per game historically to the 49ers. He plays the position at a really high level. You know, I'd almost forgotten some of the greatness of Brock Purdy from watching Mac Jones operate. You know, you forget that Purdy can extend plays and Purdy can read things at the line, and he's insanely competitive. And even Kittle in the postgame said, you know, Purdy's got such a command of the huddle that he just has a certain, and then he's like the only voice. He compared him to Garoppolo. He said he just got a great voice in the huddle. He's very commanding, but they're going to score more points. Now the question is, you know, there's two ways to win football games. You allow none or you score more than your opponent. So I guess the question is this: do they have any shot of winning it all, or do they have no shot? And if they have any shot, and that's, I would say they have any shot.
Sure. Everyone who's in the playoffs will have a shot this year, but
they needed some help up front and they didn't get it. And to me, this highlights the fact that they needed some help up front and didn't get it. And so now it's like, they're going to have to score. I mean, I wouldn't even run the ball as much as they've run it to this point. I think I'd go five wides and spread it out and start hucking it around, because why the hell not?
Why wouldn't you? I want them, and I realize that Arizona won the toss and deferred. If I'm Kyle, I'm taking the ball anytime I have a chance to start a game this year. I think you got to get up early. You got to front run. You got to be the team that's in charge of the scoreboard, because playing catch up with a defense that, you know, now in order to win, you got a defense that needs to make stops. They aren't built like that. You know, I know you said you don't want to talk about Ben Don't Break, but that's who they are, dude. They put no pressure on a quarterback. Jacoby Brissett had all the time in the world to throw for 450 freaking yards yesterday. And luckily, a lot of other things were put in a gumbo that made the Niners come out on top. Another guy who is a huge ingredient in the gumbo is obviously George Kittle. And I know we don't want to clobber people with stats here, Larry, but 50 touchdown catches in his career. That's the fifth most touchdown receptions by a player in franchise history. Now, Rice is, you know, all the way in front with 176. T.O. 81. Gene Washington. I mean, that's the thing. Rice doubles up the guy in second place, who's also,
and he played in an era where offense wasn't nearly as pronounced.
They played together. They were on the same.
But I'm just saying, as far as comparing Rice to like receivers today, the fact that receivers today in a much more passa happy system still are not approaching many of Jerry's records speaks to
the amazing
thoroughly
thing, really,
dominant Jerry was.
The really amazing thing is that Gene Washington is still 59. Alley-oop, you know.
Alley-oop is not Gene Washington.
It's not Gene Washington. Who's Alley-oop? No,
Alley-oop is R.C. Owens.
R.C. Owens. Sorry. You're right about that. Oh, I feel stupid. I've had enough lunches in Kezar Stadium Pub to know that.
R.C. Owens is before my time. I mean, that's my dad's time. When I started watching ball, though, first Niner game I ever watched, I can remember Jim Plunkett and Gene Washington. Mid-70s. And I it was probably a preseason game in the mid-70s, I remember, for the first time. First Niner ever seeing a Niner game.
Vernon's at 55, Kittle's at 50. Brock Purdy has thrown 23 touchdowns to George Kittle, making them the second most potent quarterback tight end combo in this franchise's history. They're now seven behind Alex Smith and Vernon Davis, one more than Steve Young threw to Brent Jones. Now, I'll say this. Alex Smith never threw touchdowns to anyone but tight ends. Like, he didn't attack wide receivers. He loved throwing to tight ends.
They played together a lot of years, right? They came into the league basically at the same time, where Brent has a number of catches from Joe, obviously, and then Steve. So that's part of it. That's part of it. I mean, is Alex Smith and Vernon Davis the best combo? I'd probably say no.
Here's the thing. Vernon. There you go. I think Vernon was a better tight end than Alex was a quarterback. And Alex was a pretty good, you know, he was a good quarterback. He was. Yeah. One more note here on, and this is a Dubow special, a Dubow bomb. George Kittle has caught 27 of 30 of his targets. That's 90%. That's the highest percentage in a season since 2000 for a wide receiver or a tight end with 25 targets. So you throw to George Kittle, he's going to catch it. And then he's going to do something with it. I mean, he is just phenomenal. This team really does have two first ballot Hall of Fame talents on their offense in Kittle and McCaffrey.
They're great. They got a lot of great. They're gonna. The question is though, can they win a playoff game with half a team? You know, with an offense, but a defense that has no rush, DBs who miss tackles at an alarming rate, and just overall a defense that just allowed a backup quarterback in Jacoby Brissett to just complete pass after pass after pass after pass after pass. No pressure at all. He's easily sackable. Did they sack him? No, they never got close for the most part. I mean, 450 yards passing from Jacoby Brissett. No rush at all. DBs who look lost. Linebackers who are banged up. You know, the 49ers are going to have, they're going to have to win. Every single game is going to have to be a shootout. The whole, let's run the ball. And you better dominate the time of possession, and I guess maybe running the ball could be a big part of that, but you better put points. Well,
here's the thing. You got to get up and then run the ball. That's the thing. I want the Niners to be aggressive offensively to the point where they're taking the ball when they win the coin toss to start the game. I also tell you, man, I think the Niners are a better team on the road than they are at home. I mean, they really do. And Shanahan even spoke of the advantage of sending the opposing team to a silent count in their own building. And the Cardinals had to do that. Are any opposing teams rendered to a silent count at Levi's?
Did you hear what Gannon said after the game about this? He says, whenever you play the Niners, you have to assume you'll be on silent count on offense, Gannon said. It's a little different. It kind of blows my mind that a road team can be that loud. I've never had to worry about silent count at home before. That was Jacoby Brissett. I'll say this.
Right. Jacoby's been in the league forever, by the way.
Right. The Niner fans are really, really loud on the road. Now, I'm not saying they're not loud at home, because they are loud at home. But on the road, I mean, like I was in the Superdome. That place was maddeningly loud, and it was all because of the Niners. And I'll say this too, Damon. This is the golden age of 49er football as far as the fans are concerned. Yes, the Niners were a dynasty in the 80s and 90s, and they're only been a competitive team really since. They haven't been a dynasty since the 90s. But as far as their fans and the impact of their fans, they are the most impactful fan base in the league. And I'm not saying that to try to, you know, curry favor with our audience or suck up to the people watching or listening. I'm just telling you the truth.
Look at it this way.
They are the most valuable fan base in all of the NFL. And there's no doubt in my mind that they help the 49ers win games, especially on the road. The atmosphere on the road for the Niners is unlike anything that any other team experiences. Any other team. Patriots. Nope. Lions. Their new pack. Nope. Bears. Major. Nope. Rant. No. Dallas. No. Nobody. Pittsburgh.
I'm going to equate it to this. It's real simple. They travel like mid-90s Tubby Smith Kentucky basketball. I mean, because there's nothing else to do in Kentucky but root for basketball. So that's all they got. And the entire state will get on an airplane and watch Kentucky play in another state. That's all they do.
It's amazing.
That's
all they got. There are some factors that go beyond. There are factors that go beyond, the Niners or their fans. Like, for example, it's very, 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 very expensive to live in the San Francisco Bay Area. Damon and I are lucky enough to be homeowners here, but to be a homeowner here, you're going to have to come up with a big grip of cash, because the average home is like $1.5 million. And you're going to have to, with interest rates and the whole, you're going to have to put down some serious cash. So what happens? Lots of young people go to school here and then they leave and they move to Arizona. And they moved to Southern California, and they moved to Idaho, and they moved to Cincinnati, and they moved to Tulsa, and they moved to Nashville, and they still love the Niners. And this is their connection to the Bay. And you and I, Damon, your channel, my channel, Dave's channel, Grant's channel, the people that have significant presence on YouTube, why do we have such a presence? It's because there's so many Bay Area transplants who got priced out and they left, or they maybe they're political, whatever, they left, whatever. There's a lot of people that were from here that leave here that are they've left everything about the Bay Area. And they're not looking back except for their love of the Niners.
Right. They still love the Niners and they still love Curry. There's no doubt about
right,
that.
Right, right.
But, you know,
maybe Buster, maybe a little Buster, too.
Look, my feelings of Levi's Stadium are well documented. We don't need to go over it again. But another element of the stadium that I just will never understand why that is, Levi's Stadium is built to have noise escape it. If you're asking why Niners fans are louder on the road, it's because those stadiums are built to have noise stay in. And that, I think, is just a major design flaw of that stadium.
Christopher's like, I live in the Bay Area and moved, couldn't afford to live there. That's a reality. I mean, and so there's a lot of people like that. And so, you know what? Maybe they're spending a little bit more of their disposable income traveling. Maybe they're not even traveling that far. You know, maybe they're just driving. I was amazed in New Orleans, Damon. I mean, we're talking thousands of people all over the place wearing Niner gear. It's unbelievable. John Chapman could probably speak to it best because his channel, they kind of travel, travels part of his channel. So he's right in the midst of it. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And it's a lot of fun. Let's be honest. It's fun.
Larry, look at it this way. We need to, because I got to get going here in a second. We need to travel into our Habas sponsored segment of Supers that we need to get to today. And look, if you want to watch the 49ers, you're going to have to be traveling to the Bay Area this week. They're on Monday Night Football next. They open as a 6.5-point favorite on Monday Night Football over Carolina. Question is the kicker going to be there? Eddie Pinheiro's hamstring is our going to be monitoring injury this week. I know Tatum Bethune went into the tent. Keep an eye on him. Gibson had the drunken man strut into the blue tent too. So, you know, we'll have some injuries to keep an eye on, but this sets up a winnable game against a improved from where they were at the beginning of the year Carolina team. But hopefully the 49ers can keep something going here with Brock and get away with a little more football murder on Monday Night Football. Larry, speaking of travel, I'm actually traveling to LA on Thursday, so we will not be doing a wake up on Friday.
Okay.
How about this though? We will do a wake up Monday morning, the Monday of the Monday Night Football game. I will be back. So our next wake up will be a week from today.
Yeah, a preview show instead of a post game. And are we going Tuesday too?
You bet we are.
Okay. So Monday and Tuesday of next week.
And Friday. We'll be back on it on Friday too. But yeah, we'll be back on a Friday.
Thanks to Habas Law for sponsoring this segment. 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Visit them on the web at habaslaw.com, HABBASlaw.com. One thing I love about being having Habas as a sponsor is they're very rooted here in Northern California. And, you know, the holidays are about warmth, connection, home, but for a lot of Bay Area people and a lot of people around the country, you know, food and shelter are not guaranteed. And we want to help out. Damon does, I do, and most importantly, Habas Law does. 1 in 3 people struggle to afford food. Thousands live without shelter. You got families that are in crisis during the holidays here. Kids going to bed hungry. And, you know, Damon and I have a huge heart for kids, and so does Habas. And Niner faithful always show up when it matters most, and our community needs that same heart right now. This November, join Habas Law supporting Martha's Kitchen, serving 200,000 meals every month to people who need hope. Let's feed more than ourselves, Bay Area and YouTube world. Let's visit marthas-kitchen.org where you can donate today. And once again, Marthas, marthas-kitchen.org, and whatever you can donate. And if you're not in position to, I totally get it. Don't feel bad at all. But if you are in position to help out, man, that would be awesome. Once again, marthas-kitchen.org and donate today. Habas Law is making a sizable donation themselves, and they are always fighting to make it right. And we're very proud to be associated with sponsors that really do care about the community that they're in. So thanks to Habas Law, 1-800-INJURED. They're great attorneys. If you need an attorney, definitely call them. But if you could help out this holiday season, that would be awesome. marthas-kitchen.org. And any kind of donation, I'm sure, will be very, very much appreciated. All right, let's roll into our supers here. Joseph Ernberg 7381. Good morning, guys. Great game back for Brock. He looked great. I don't know why there are so many angry little man baby fans this morning. 12-5 is coming. I love Ernberg. He sometimes will get negative, but he doesn't understand that. Others negativity. Bill Kennedy, Damon, $1.39 to your Big Ten championship trip.
Thank you, Bill. We found out yesterday what YouTube takes 30%. So $1.99 gets me $1.39. Thank you very, very much, Bill. I hope I can do it. I really do.
Then we got that one. We got this one. Oli Kao became a YouTube member. We'll always give a little clap for our brand new YouTube members. This is not a super, but it's a good one. The 49ers 2025. What's up, Krug? Let's not get hyped over a win. We know the Cards aren't good. Let's see if we can beat legit teams. Okay. I think that's a fair comment. I wanted to throw that in there because I thought, you know, yes, we want to be excited this morning, but let's not forget, you know, that the Cardinals were awful yesterday. I mean, that was awful.
Here's the deal.
Carolina will be tougher.
The Cardinals are awful a lot of the times. A lot more seasons than they are good. That's for sure. They're awful more often than they are good. Yet still, they usually find a way to take one from the Niners almost every year. This is the first sweep of the Cardinals since the 2023 season. And another note is the 49ers.
The Cardinals.
Yeah, the Niners have won all of their divisional road games for just the fourth time since 2002.
Swept the road in the division.
All of those have been Shanahan teams, and he has gone to the Super Bowl in two of those 3 years. Just throwing that out there. Just, you know, if you like a stat that is a forebearer of things to come, there you go.
I don't think the Niners that I saw yesterday can beat the Eagles or the Lions that I saw last night, but you never know. Everybody's going down, dude. I mean, Tucker Kraft out, Ed Oliver out. Somebody yesterday in the playoff race lost somebody big. Did you see who was the big guy who went down yesterday, Damon?
Well,
somebody,
I mean, Penix down. Could be done for the year.
Well, there's this. So, yeah,
are they going to see whether or not are they afraid that Aaron Rodgers might have broken his wrist or something? I don't know.
This is non-throwing, but yeah, I did see that as well. But I thought there was another injury. I'll look for it. PWS's reports say Penix might be out the rest of the season with a knee injury. Imagine the Rams draft Mendoza, Moore, or Simpson with Atlanta's first rounder. Mendoza this weekend was 22 of 24 or 23 of 25. I think he had two incompletions the entire day. Dante Moore from Oregon and Simpson from Alabama. I'm not as sold on those guys. Those guys are a little bit riskier. Mendoza looks phenomenal though. And I'll tell you this, Lenora Sellers has got one of the greatest arms I've ever seen. I really enjoy watching that kid throw the rock, but Mendoza looks really good.
Can I give you some stat on Mendoza?
Yeah, go ahead.
In his last five home games, he's thrown 21 touchdown passes with 16 incompletions.
Wow. Yeah, they are rolling.
With Alabama's loss, Larry, Indiana has the longest home winning streak in the nation. 15 games going back to last. I mean, we've never said this out loud before.
Dude, Fuji Simeon throws $1.99. Congrats on A&M and Indiana. They still undefeated. A&M was down 30-3 to South Carolina. I tuned in. I'm like, oh my God, the season is up in smoke. I was taping it, but I had to do something. I came in like late second quarter. There it was. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to watch this. I can't believe they're getting beat at home.
Did you
see South Carolina? And then the second half came and the Aggies rose up. The 12th man rose up. Dude, by the way,
did you see the state trooper?
Who pushed Nick Harbor. Oh,
dude, that guy can never be allowed to work another football game again. No more overtime for you, dickhead.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I don't care. I mean, it wasn't like Nick Harbor went out of his way to hit the guy either. It's like they accidentally bumped, and here's a guy that hasn't been bumped by a guy bigger and stronger than him in a long time and got all butt hurt. And it's like, sorry, bro, you know, and they sent him home right then. He's probably I don't know if he'll lose his job. I hope he doesn't lose his job. I don't want to see anybody lose their job. especially during the holidays. But come on.
No, nobody needs to lose their job, but you don't get assigned to football games anymore. You do that to a football player, you're out there to protect these guys, not start static with them. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, that was just so stupid. By the way, weird climate. Guess what it was in College Station at that game? 85 degrees. I had friends there sending me, Krug, look at these, look at this. I mean, I was like, it was like summertime. It was like middle of the summer there in College Station. A&M, by the way, Marcel Reed, Concepcion, what they have on defense. I mean, A&M's a beast. A&M's coming, man. A&M's the undefeated team. The road through in the SEC rolls through A&M. PWS, how about Rob C giving Damon the bag yesterday? LOL.
Larry, during my live stream watch party, I had over 200 super chats. Very generous crowd.
Wow.
With Rob C note dropping $400 in super chats all by himself.
Oh my God.
I mean, come on. Thank you, Rob.
He's lifting you up all by himself.
I'm like, Indiana's playing Louisville the same day the Big Ten title game, and it just drives me nuts that I just can't afford to fly out there at the current situation I'm in right now to go there. Rob C's like, here's $400. Oh shit, I'm gonna talk to Julian about
maybe we ought to do like before. I can't do the in-game deal because I'm just too into it, but I could do an in-game deal for like an NFL playoff game or an in-game deal for like a college bowl game.
You know what we should do? We should do an in-game watch party for just like a rando Sunday night or Monday night game.
Yeah, let's do it. Or Thursday nighter. We could do anything at Thursday nighter. But yeah, that's big. Rob C throwing out the money. Ivan says
it's also it's Rob C's birthday today too. So
now you guys
birthday to Rob. I mean, now I mean, Larry. Now I'm just he's thing with a fucking
size. He doesn't have a Cato Kalen pad in the backyard. Jack, what's that? Who's that guy? That's Rob C. And don't bother him.
That's Daddy Warbucks. He's keeping us in the house.
Can I play with my boy? No, you're going to interrupt Rob C. He's taking a nap. That would be awesome, Ivan. 49ers win in such a great way is such a great way to start the week. The crew from Humboldt County is coming down for the meet and greet at Pig in a Pickle during the bye week. We're all wondering if Damon is going to be there. Damon might be there.
Does he mean Damon and Mary or me?
I think he means this Damon. Well, there's the Damon of Damon and Mary, the owners of Pig in a Pickle, most definitely will be there. And they would love to see all of you there because, heck, why not? More the merrier.
They're
opening their third location.
Sunday, December 7th, Corte Madera. I wrote it down. I'm going to talk to Jillian about that right now. And when we're done,
you know what? I'll say this. And for families
and Ozzy.
Well, that'll be awesome. I'll say this for families. Like if wives, you want to bring your wife. It's December 7th, right? We're talking about primo Christmas shopping season. Now, I know we all. You know, I've seen all these closed malls and everything, and it's like, you know, the mall, Amazon has killed the mall.
Yeah, not Corte Madera.
But the one mall that is really thriving in Northern California, I mean, I shouldn't say the one, but one that is this Corte Madera Town Center Mall in Marin County. And there's a lot of money in Marin, but you know what? It's a beautiful mall. So if you want to stop by and watch some ball and hang out and have a beer or have some brisket, have some lunch, and then, hey, if your wife wants to go take off because she's not into football as much or whatever, or doesn't want to hang out, she can go Christmas shopping and come back, make a day of it. That's what I'm bring Amy out and let her do some last minute Christmas shopping as well.
It'll be easier for me to get Jillian up there if I can sell Amy's there. So do it.
The only guy who might not be there is Kev because Kev's going to be in Hawaii. But
poor Kev.
I know Kev's gallivanting. Kev's exploding right now with everything. But I think he might be in Hawaii that day partying with buddies. All right, we got a bunch more here. Silent, we need more Nick Martin, different level athlete.
Yes, yeah, we saw him participate, man.
Thank you. That's the best way to say it. Different level athlete. Thank you, Silent. Are we the only people that see this? I mean, the Nick Martin sucks crowd, really? He barely played. He had 7 tackles and 5 solo. Barely played.
Yeah.
The guy played consistently. He might have 20 tackles.
How about this? Nick Martin is allowed to whiff on as many tackles as he needs to learn how to play this game, it's worth today's missed tackle will become tomorrow's tackle for a 3-yard loss.
Well, I don't get it either.
Let him learn.
So Upton Stout can be out there making all kinds of mistakes, and it's like, well, he's a rookie and he's going to learn. But Marquis Siegel suddenly makes the same mistakes. Oh, get him off the field. And Nick Martin's going to make a mistake. Can't have that. Cannot have that. You know, it's like, what? Well, I love how we have selective standards for all these different guys. PWS, that McBride penalty was a gang sign.
Well, look at it this way. If it is, a gang got that from Smell My Finger. I mean,
the origins of the origins. I'm going with Damon's over the game.
They've done that. They it's in the movie.
And what is Trey McBride from Colorado State? What he joined some gang in Fort Collins? Find that hard to believe.
By the way, I love all these guys definitively telling me what are gang signs who have never once spent an afternoon with the 24th Street Crips. Like, shut the fuck up, you gang experts in the chat. You don't
know.
Wait
a second. We just busted into PWS's house and he Googled gang signs.
By the way, Ivan said he meant me coming and he's going to buy me a beer at Pig in a Pickle.
Oh, I know. I knew he meant you. they don't know Damon Stainbrook, but they will. Greg Arjazy. And by the way, more the merrier. You know, we'd love, man, last time we were there, we had about 50 people there. I'd love to pack the place. I'd love to get 100 people there. It'd be really cool. Really awesome. All of Damon's Plus Mania fans are all welcome. I'd love to see all of you there. It'd be fantastic. It'd be great to see each and every one of you. And let's just sit down and watch some ball. I mean, it won't be Niner ball, but we'll have games to watch and Christmas shopping and good stuff to talk about, and it'll be fun. Greg Arjazy, and I know it's Arjazy because he's given us the phonetic spelling in the past.
Jay-Z.
Larry and Damon, you two are the best bit at numbers.
Oh, no, I think you were upset that someone called you bitches. He said, you're the two best bitches we got. Thank you.
You're the best bitch I know. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate you, bro. Big Hurt says, yes, Mac has a stronger arm and may be more accurate, but the offense is more potent with Brock Purdy. Just remember this. Brock Purdy knows the offense better. So he just like, there were a couple plays. I mean, that pass to Kittle, he switched it up and then threw a dime. I'll say this about the Niners. If you really wanted to back away, let's all breathe, right? Just take a deep breath. What has been the story of this year? Really, it's two, right? It's the injuries again, and it's Mac Jones and the fact that the 49ers have two quarterbacks that they can win games with. Right. So that is not nothing. You saw Jared Goff yesterday. Jared Goff's getting hit. Their line's not great. Their center's not great. They lost Ragnow. Their backup quarterback's Kyle Allen. We could get into December football, and if it's the 49ers against the Lions and they have Kyle Allen, I'm taking the Niners.
You know what? Here's the thing. That's too many steps away to even think about. Here's what you got to cross your fingers for. Let it be Shedeur Sanders when you get to Cleveland.
I didn't see him yesterday, but I heard he was bad.
He was not good. I didn't see much of it. I didn't see much of it, but I saw a highlight package of every throw. And, you know, Josina Anderson is like carrying water for Shedeur. Like, look at this throw. And it's literally like 2 yards past the line of scrimmage. And then Judy does all the work with his legs. But you would rather play Shedeur Sanders than any other quarterback on Cleveland's roster when you get to Cleveland. So maybe you got that going for you.
Which is nice. Michael, a 7-point spread seems generous for the 49ers versus Carolina. Bryce Young just threw for 448 yards and 3 touchdowns versus Atlanta. Tet McMillan is a matchup problem. I stupidly sat Tet McMillan because he had been underproducing for Cooper Kupp's return. Oh, my God. Probably going to cost me the game. Fujisimi and Larry, you may win the Pearsall under 1,200 receiving yards for the season with Mr. Angel Murillo. But will you two make bet on which school goes further, A&M and IU? I'll say this to Angel Murillo. If I do win, we can go double or nothing if he wants. I'm not even sure exactly what we're betting, but I'll always wager.
Fujisimi is an actual A&M alumni, so he, you know, no, right. My fandom completely as an alumni outranks his to the point where I don't gamble against Subway fans.
I was a fan of A&M when Jackie Sherrill was saying, let's hand the ball to Curtis Dickey, and it was 1979. Damon, were you even alive in 1979?
I was 4 years old in 1979. Okay. I was not worried about it.
I was going to say, I've been an A&M fan since Damon was before kindergarten. Fuji Simeon.
And what's funny, people call me, I'm old. Like, they're like, Damon, you're old. You're old. Larry's older than me, but I'm just Johnny Grayboy all of a sudden. So I wear it.
Well, don't worry about it. You know, it is what it is. We all get there. Ain't nobody getting out of here alive. Fuji Simeon, hopefully Eddie Pinheiro is okay and not out long.
No kidding.
By the way, I mean, it has to be mentioned. Eddie Pinheiro, I mean, come on. Is this guy for real? Eddie Pinheiro, yes, he missed a couple PATs, and that's not good. But Eddie Pinheiro made from 48, 47, 47 on the day, three consecutive field goals. He is now 22 for 22. They had Jake Moody, and now they've got a guy who is historically as good as any kicker in 49er history, 22 for 22. And there were people suggesting that we owed Jake Moody an apology because we were complaining that he was shitty.
Look at it this way. Really? When Jake Moody comes in here with Chicago and kicks that game-winning field goal against the 49ers, then you'll all know about his greatness. But until then, be happy that you have Pinheiro.
PWS, Damon, you can't be saying Kyle is speaking an injury into existence when you literally said yesterday you wish CMC gets hurt during the fourth quarter.
Like, what does it take to learn the lesson? Do you really, like can we?
Wished injury on CMC?
I said this deserves. Brock Purdy's fucking femur snap in half before he's like, hey, maybe I should go to Mac Jones, who could go to the Pro Bowl. He's been playing so well.
But were you wishing injury on him?
I wasn't wishing it. I was very much talking for 3.5 uninterrupted hours. That's what happened. I was frustrated.
Can you quote yourself? What's the juiciest quote? If you were quoting yourself, what was the quote that people would remember? I mean, was it like, no, I hope this guy goes down. What was it?
We definitely analyzed the stink puss in real time.
Okay.
So that was part of yesterday's analysis.
Gang sign.
Jillian went to her friend's house, whole bunch of girls to watch a Niners game. It's her fantasy football gathering. And they all got together and they sent a picture. And we talked about who in the picture had the biggest boobs. And if you got cannons, you fire them. That was the spiciest
Who's
thing.
The picture of?
It was a group of Jillian's friends and Jillian. Jillian's own crazy.
Can we evaluate the cannons?
You know what?
Who did have the biggest cannons in there, by the way? Who really had the cannons? And what a great word. Yeah, so cannons. Her name is Winnebagoes myself, but whatever.
Her name is Marissa. And her nickname, because I couldn't remember her name.
Did she watch this show?
She did. Well, that's the thing. They were all watching. And my nickname for Marissa, because I was talking to Jillian about her. This was years ago. And I'm like, your friend, what's her name? And I couldn't remember anything other than she went to UCLA. And I called her UCLA tits. I'm like, what's UCLA tits? What's her? And Jillian thought that Marissa would love that nickname and think it was.
Oh, no.
Marissa loves the nickname UCLA tits and is a fan of mine. So we talked.
Wow. Sounds like your wife better keep a close eye on her. Stefan says stats matter for Offensive Player of the Year award. Doubt that it's Kyle to be honest. Is Kyle the coach of the year? He might be if this team goes and does something big in the playoffs. PWS, but yeah, you got to get CMC out of the game in the fourth. Yeah, absolutely. Come on. We all agree. We all agree. We can argue about who's saying it and how we're saying it and this and that. But come on, we're all in agreement. You're up multiple scores in the fourth quarter, Kyle. Get Purdy, Kittle, and CMC off the field. Otherwise, if those guys get hurt, you're a damn fool. You're a damn fool. And you're gonna get blamed by the fan base, and there's nothing the rest of us could do to defend you. You know, come on, you gotta get your money off the field. David E, were you gonna say something? Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
No, someone asked if silicone was involved. No, they're real and they're spectacular.
Oh, that's awesome. I hope she's a big fan of the show. Can you ask Shanny why he left the starters out so long? Maybe he needs to hear that it's a noticeable decision. Yeah, I could. Kyle, just drop a WTF. What's going on? Ben underscore Diesel, the pass rush was non-existent. Obviously, I wish San Francisco would have beaten Philly to the punch by acquiring Phillips from Miami. They didn't want to give up their third. And you know what? I don't know how I feel about it. All I know is that they needed help. They needed help. Philly's got a team that's ready to win a Super Bowl. Do the Niners?
You know, by the way, I'm going to tell you right now, Philadelphia's offense ain't what it used to be. That defensive line is still scary. But
yeah, what's up with A.J. Brown, by the way?
It is weird.
He's got a bad attitude.
So odd how, like, you'd think that Sirianni would go out of his way to, like, force feed him a little bit just to shut him up. But that's not happening. And
what the heck, Sirianni? Sirianni makes some really bad decisions, too. Dale says Brock is also maturing faster this year. The plays he just went down without trying to be Superman, to Superman it. I was so impressed with those two in particular.
There was definitely a miscommunication on a Brian Robinson handoff. It looked like Robinson was on the wrong side of him. Brock was handing off to air, and he just saw that he saw the whole thing just going bad around him. So he just ate it, and that was the right play.
Well, learn from Stafford. You know, Tom Brady said this. We talk endlessly about make a play, make a play, make a play. As a quarterback, you also have to think, don't make a huge negative play. And I don't think young quarterbacks think about that. They're thinking, make a play, make a play, make a play. Even if I make a negative play. No, no, no. If you're going to make a negative play, throw it into the turf and go live to fight another down. Simple as that. We got that one. We got this one.
There was also, before the last touchdown in the game, I thought, you know, they were like, oh, Brock was high out of the back of the end. I thought he was throwing that away, too. I thought he threw one out of the back of the end zone late in the game, too.
I also thought the first, a lot of people thought that first ball was inaccurate. No, it was JJ on the sidelines. He saw the guy totally all over him. He just threw it out of the bounds, way over his head. I think that would be my guess. Ovo Pappy 999. Why continue to healthy scratch Jordan James 10 weeks? Yeah, I mean, that guy's never getting on the field. I saw him in the locker room, and I was going to interview him, and I'm like, geez, if I ask him any questions at all, it's going to be like, you know, are you frustrated?
How about Jordan Watkins? How come Jordan Watkins was being assimilated and then, like, you're done?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Get some speed on the field. You can't be fast if you take all your fast guys and you make them inactive. Steven Draper, take the ball first every time. That is the formula.
I think you got to play the way your season is breaking in front of you. And when it starts to go in the opposite direction of how you want to do it, we know what Shanahan wants to do. I just don't think he can.
I mean, and it's like your formula is fucking stupid if you're going up against a team that is awesome offensively and you need to play from ahead and you're going to let them take the ball and score for you. You can't stop anybody. I would say get into the game, you know, take the ball and dominate the time of possession and get the game going in the pattern that you want, as opposed to falling behind, because that's ultimately what's going on. Yeah, that was fine when you had a great defense and you could be like, oh yeah, we get a stop in the first series and now everything's gravy. But when you're not going to get a stop on the first series and they're going to go the length of the field in 12 plays in 9 minutes, you know, maybe it's better to take to not take the ball or to take the ball and to not defer. But I mean, also, it's if you play one way the whole time, it doesn't take very much to make you uncomfortable. It's like, that's the other downside of doing the same thing every freaking time. If you get into a big game and you don't get your formula, suddenly your team feels uncomfortable. I want a little bit more resiliency for my team. I want a little bit more ability to win other ways. And also, you're doing it for a reason. That means there's got to be reasons to not do it. And if you're going up against a great offensive team and you want to play from ahead, I think I don't agree. Do the same thing every single time. I don't. And also, there's no guarantee. I watch every single game and I chart every game. Sometimes there's two series, three series in the first half. Sometimes there's six. I mean, it doesn't, it's not like one of these things that's it doesn't guarantee you're going to get the ball at the end of the second quarter and then have that ability to score going into the locker room and then have the ability coming out of the locker room. I mean, it doesn't always add up that way. So it's just, it's a weird thing to play for. Ben, and I know Shanahan loves it. That's his dream. But what about when you don't get your dream? How does your team react?
Right. I'm sure. Look at it this way. When you came up with that dream, or as that dream unfolded, I'm sure you had a very good defense in that dream. In reality, you don't have that. So start with your best foot forward. That's right. The way I would do it.
Exactly. You don't know how long the game's going to last. Put your best unit on the field first, and your money is on offense. Your Hall of Famers are on offense. That's where all your big guys are. You're going to win the game. If the Niners are going to win anything this year, they're going to win it on their offense. Ben Diesel, defensive upside. Nick Martin did a good job locating the ball. He was on it with the reps he had. I thought so too. We'll see what the Niners thought. Ricardo Rodriguez, seems like the plan is to score 40 points a game and cross your fingers the defense plays well enough to win. Pinheiro hurt? Can't lose him come playoffs. He might be out for a couple weeks. You know, and if that's the case, then that's the case. They'll find another kicker for a few weeks.
Hey, guess what? You can find those guys off the street all the time. That's why you never draft one.
MSQ, RIP Coach John Beam from Laney College.
Sad story.
What a waste. This guy gave his life to that area, gave his life to a lot of kids that needed it. You saw Nashon Wright yesterday with Chicago. He got an interception in the end zone. He broke down in tears in the end zone. And anybody who's ever watched Last Chance U, first of all, if you haven't watched Last Chance U, take this opportunity to go deep dive and binge watch Last Chance U, Laney College, John Beam. And you'll, after you watch that series, you'll have a much better feeling for why Beam was so beloved in the Oakland community. And it's a terrible tragedy.
His murderer robbed Oakland of a resource that was important to the city of Oakland. That guy was a father, an uncle, a coach, a brother. He meant so much to so many people. And I did not really know about him until the story that he was shot was all over the place. And the reality.
You never saw the Laney College thing? Oh, dude, Damon, you got to see it. Last Chance U, Laney College. I think it's season 3 or 4. I forget exactly which year of Last Chance U. They've done a number of series. But, dude, it is unbelievable. I binge watched it about 5 years ago or 3 years ago or something. And it was unbelievable. It's really, really good. And it just shows how rooted this guy was in the community and shows how much the Oakland community had. The crime in that city is off the charts, national, way above the national average. They've got to do something. The leadership's got to do something. It's just, it cannot continue. Hopefully this is the impetus it takes to try to clean that city up in some way, shape, or form. It's on hard times. All the pro teams have left. The money, the tax base, it's all shrunk. The need to help the citizens has grown. I mean, it's just become a war zone. Big Hurt says, shout out to Niner Empire and Spartan Niner Empire chapters all over the country that spearheaded stadium takeovers. Absolutely. In fact, let me raise my glass to you guys. Unbelievable. Unbelievable support. A couple more. Fuji, Larry, don't forget to show love to Stonestown Mall in San Francisco. It's also thriving thanks to SI and Lowell alumni investors and Cash Infusion.
Let me tell you,
that's right by Damon's house, sort of. That's kind of towards your area.
It is. It absolutely has been reborn, and its entire concept is basically Stonestown Mall is now Little Japan. All these Japanese boutique stores and outlet stores and all the place where you go for your labubus and all that shit is like, you know, Japanese culture is culture now, especially here in the Bay Area. And all the there's sushi and ramen in there. And like the food court, you mean? Yes, but real, like legit restaurants. This place called Dumpling Time, which is freaking amazing. They got one of the best noodle joints in the world. I mean, the Stonestown Mall has done a nice job breathing some life back into a mall in an area where you'd think nobody's going to go to the mall, especially in the Bay Area, because we're so app heavy and, you know, internet.
So many great memories for that mall as a kid, man. I just can't even tell you. Me and my sisters, and we'd go there and shop and take the bus to our house and spend a lot of time in that mall, man. A lot of good memories in that mall. Malls are dying because of lots of reasons. Partially just consumers prefer the experience. I'm busy. You're busy. Do you have time to go to a mall, to a store, and maybe find something? And then what if it doesn't fit? They don't have the right size, this and that. It's so much easier to click buttons from your desktop.
That's why malls are kind of important, though. Malls are the only thing you really can do between the ages of 14 and 21 to, like, go to a place and group hang with your friends. You know, there's a bar you can go to. There's, you know, there are fewer and fewer.
Closed. Yeah, no, I agree with you. But then also, when you see mass teenagers beating up kids at Stonestown Mall, we saw that within the last year or two. When you saw mass kids, you know, taking over the Louis Vuitton thing, it's like, come on. I mean, it's gotten, guess what? If you rob from your stores will disappear. This just in. Fuji Simeon, would love to see you two do a non-49er live stream. Okay. We've done, Damon and I can talk anything. Stefan says, Brown, D, Brendel need to be replaced next season. That's Jair Brown. D Winters? I don't know about D Winters. I think D Winters had a pretty good game yesterday.
D in coverage can be a little bit of a thrill ride, but
his hit on McBride in the first quarter was one of the best.
Tackler of the first degree.
Yeah, he looked good yesterday. JC Montana, thoughts on the number of audibles from Brock? Love this show.
It's the command of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I counted at least four or five audibles at the line of scrimmage, and getting out of a bad play and into a good play is how you win football games. So, yeah, that's a great, great thing. And we're glad, JC, that you love the show. Ernberg, it's a good weekend when the Chiefs lose. Fire. That's right, the Chiefs lost to the Broncos. That's going to do it for us. I am going to be 7 minutes from now. I'm going to pop on the radio with Greg Papa and Greg Silver on KMBR. It's a big Monday for me because I'm sitting in on KMBR from 2 to 6. So you'll catch me on the radio for a lot of the rest of the day. And then the Monday night game tonight. And usually I stream with Dieter on Monday nights after the Monday Nighter. So hopefully we'll be doing that. Damon, what do you got cooking the rest of the day? Promote away.
I've got Damon Amendolora, who is a national DA. Host. Yeah, DA, the DA show. He's joining me at 11:15. He just said that his son is a little under the weather and home from school today. Can we push back to 11:15? I said, sure thing. I just got a text from him. So Damon Amendolora is going to join us, and we're going to kind of do a larger NFL sort of playoff picture. Look at the entire league because, you know, it's a week where things start coming into or getting out of focus. So really looking forward to having him on. And then again, we'll be doing shows Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I am off to LA for a Southern California Jillian side of the family Thanksgiving. And I love them, Larry. How smart are them? They do Thanksgiving a week before Thanksgiving, so we don't run into a whole bunch of Thanksgiving travel. That's a great family decision. So
wow, I never heard of that before. Fuji Simeon says, sorry, I like the idea of you two live streaming a bowl game or an NFL. We'll do it.
That would be like a 7-hour live stream. College football games take forever.
Halftime shows 45 minutes long.
Hey, thanks to everyone for watching, though. Really appreciate it. Hit like and subscribe all the way around, and we will be back at it certainly with a wake up next Monday, ahead of the Monday night game against Carolina. Then we'll be back on Tuesday. Then we'll be back. You get 3 wake ups next week. How about that?
Wake up 3 times next week. Wake up with us. Hey, have a great day, everybody. 5 minutes from now, join me on the radio, 680 AM, 104.5 FM, iHeartRadio if you want. Check it out. Check out Damon with Damon and Amendolora. That should be a good stream over on his channel. Thanks to all of you for Damon and Larry.
Thanks for watching.